and they're traveling faster now than at any time since they left the Earth's atmosphere. Oh, 8 days ago.
$25,000 an hour about when they strike the atmosphere, isn't it, Frank?
Almost. About 24,100 or 24,200, something like that.
3 minutes to entry.
Entry means entering the Earth's atmosphere at 400,000 feet.
Attitude and 11 Houston, we'll have you for about 3 more minutes through Redstone and then pick you up after blackout through Orion. Roger.
They will begin to experience the sensation of weight again.
Apollo 11 lined up right down the middle of the entry corridor. Velocity is now 35,578 feet per second.
And within a few minutes after hitting the Earth's atmosphere, they will go up to about 6 times their normal weight.
For a minute and 45 seconds from entry, blackout will begin 18 seconds after entry.
Now they are aimed so precisely that they will hit this corridor at an angle of 6.52 degrees, plus or minus 1 degree. Now that sounds very restrictive, and it is, but the corridor actually works out to be about 13 miles wide.
Houston, Apollo 11, I'm going to go to command reset and turn the tape on.
This is a phase of the flight, of course, that we've never been able to see. Only a few people have.
Recommend negative on that. That'll put us in low bit rate.
And among them are Thomas Stafford and Eugene Cernan of the previous flight, Apollo 10. And they were good enough to describe it for us, and we're going to rely on them now.
Initial entry is made in darkness out over the South Pacific, and it's a steeper angle by far than Earth orbit. We have about 6.5 degrees negative angle versus Earth orbit is, say, 1.3 degrees. And so you go from when you first hit the ionization till you get into a big G pulse occurs right away compared to the Earth orbital reentries. And again, it looked like we suddenly came into daylight, but again, we knew it wasn't daylight because the whole atmosphere around the spacecraft became white. And became white hot, and then we had purples, and then right away we were slammed back in the seats for about 1 minute at up to 6 G's, at the 6.5 G's, at which time we then became subcircular. In other words, we'd continue on in and not skip out.
One of the most pleasant sounds I've heard during that reentry was for Tom to call out the fact that we were subcircular, which means now we are at a velocity which will not maintain Earth orbit, or which will not skip out, which means we're coming home. Of course, that doesn't say where you're coming home yet, but it means you're coming home. And that was those were delightful words to us.
This occurs approximately 2 minutes and 10 seconds after you first hit the atmosphere. Again, I think one thing that was unusual on 10 was the fact that the whole world could see our spacecraft in the reentry phase as it came in, and you could see it go up and down as we were lifting back and forth to kill out cross range and down range to hit right down on the target. But we achieved a point less than 25,700 feet per second, 2 minutes and 10 seconds after we hit the atmosphere.
And on Gemini, the fireball was red and green and purple. And that fireball is just this white, golden, hot stream of fire that just trails out behind you to an apex out there, and then surrounding it is a beautiful, beautiful purple, one of the most beautiful lavender colors you've ever seen. And it seems so intense, and you can see the shock waves go through it. It seems so much more intense than I ever remember Gemini. We've often been asked what's the most beautiful sight in all of spaceflight. The liftoff, the moon looking back at the Earth, sunrises, sunsets, and they are beautiful. But we mutually have agreed, and I think it's a unanimous agreement of all those who have ever flown in the space program here in our astronaut office, that the most beautiful sight that a man can ever see is those parachutes when they open above the spacecraft.
They are now in the Earth's atmosphere.
The control center will not attempt to communicate with Apollo 11 after drogue deploy time. We will leave the airwaves clear for the recovery forces.
And as you can see in our animation, the heat shield is glowing, and we're in a period of blackout with the astronauts, during which no communication is possible. But the last data received at Mission Control showed everything functioning accurately, and they were dead on course. They don't descend right straight down. They come down and then go up again and then down and then up and finally all the way back down.
Araya 3 reported a visual contact.
That's one of the planes, high-flying planes in the air. And we're going to get some communications from the carrier Hornet. Keith McBee.
We're at 3 minutes, 20 seconds since entry.
Approximate maritime out here. We expect the fireball, but it may be too cloudy for that. Helicopters all on station. Not only helicopters, but all aircraft on station. The picture you're seeing, of course, is the mobile quarantine facility.
The picture you're seeing is an animation.
We've shown quite a bit of this morning because of the darkness out here in the deck. It's getting light now, though.
Yeah.
It looks like a huge house trailer, of course. It's 4 years in the building. Astronauts will enter through that back door, really the front door, emerge at various times into that translucent tunnel for X-rays, and to recover the samples from the moon from the capsule. Of course, Dr. Bill Carpentier, the NASA doctor, and John Kurosaki, NASA project engineer. All helicopters up and on station, all fixed wings up and on station. Involved in the recovery airwise and starting with the top layer are two Air Force HC-130s from Guam via Johnston Island. They'll be deployed at 25,000 feet. These planes have radar, paramedics aboard just in case. They're usually the first to see the spacecraft coming in after blackout. We're waiting for confirmation on deck that they have spotted it. Under them at 8,000 feet are two E-1 aircraft. They're stubby little carrier planes with radar dishes over their wings, known as Billy Puds. They act as a sort of communications middleman. And at 3,000 feet, the key man in an operation that calls very close teamwork, that's Recovery 1, Helicopter Squadron 4, the Sikorsky Sea King helicopter. Squadron 4 are all hands in Apollo recovery. Controls will be the Squadron CO, Commander Don Smith, who picked up Colonel Borman.
This is a picture made from the deck of the carrier of the sky, and you can see how dark it is in the area there. And we don't know what our chances might be of picking up the re-entry. It depends on how far away they are and how dark it is. You can see how dark it is, and we don't know yet how far away they're likely to be. But we'll repeat again that one of the aircraft in the area has made a visual sighting of the re-entry, flying at a high altitude.
Or up forward.
There it is.
Apollo 11, men who walked on the moon. Just for an instant, just for a brief instant. And it went behind the cloud cover. No, you can still see it. You can see the red ball. That's the command module. It's awfully tough because it's awfully cloudy. Follow.
Just behind the clouds.
Behind the clouds.
John, pull this over more. Pull into here. Good.
Well, it wasn't as spectacular as Apollo 10, but it's still clearly visible, even with cloud conditions being what they are. From the original splash site. They just had to go a little further to come down on us. That reentry was at about 400,000 feet. Now they'll be going into the blackout period. And at 5 minutes after entry, they should be popping their drogue chutes, followed by the mains. At that point, we hope for audio. Hope we can pick up sound-wise the double sonic boom. Second one being an echo on the water. Ron Nesson, we think, has a better sighting from his position up near the bridge. Ron?
That fireball was the spacecraft, of course, coming back into the atmosphere at speed, which caused the spacecraft to heat up to about 7,000 degrees. And it caused the spacecraft to glow, as you saw, like a meteor, but actually air conditioning inside the spacecraft kept the astronauts at 75 degrees. We should be hearing the double sonic boom as the spacecraft comes down. The astronauts at this point are dressed in their two-piece white flight coveralls. Here's a late report saying that the Hornet's radar room has gotten a contact on the spacecraft as it comes down. Dallas? The radar says that the spacecraft is 65 miles now. That doesn't mean that it's going to come down 65 miles from the ship. Actually, it's still quite high in the air at this point. They're dumping out what's left of the fuel in their thruster tanks and making the other final preparations for the landing. If they come down by computer, which they apparently have, they should land in a very accurate area, some 6 miles by 10 miles here in the Pacific. There's the double sonic boom. Really the sonic boom and then the echo of the boom off the water. That means that the drogue chutes have opened because according to the timetable put out by the space agency, the boom should be heard at about the same time.
The crew has reported to mission control that they appear to be right on target.
Feet up. And the drogue parachutes slow it down. Stop it from tumbling if they are. Drogue chutes come out when the spacecraft is traveling at about 306 miles an hour. These little 13-foot parachutes which pop out.
Ron, we understand Houston reports radio contact with the command module.
Well, it's down below 23,000 feet now, so we should be seeing it fairly soon. The Hornet's recovery fleet consists of a radio relay plane, a radar plane, recovery helicopter, two helicopters full of frogmen, and a photo helicopter. And the ship is looking for it with its radar. There was some little difficulty during rehearsals with the ship's radar because the fire control radar is normally used to track airplanes in the air and not a small object like a spacecraft bobbing in the sea. And the surface radar really can't see more than 2,300 yards, which is less than a mile and a half. We're about 3 or 4 minutes away from the predicted time for the spacecraft to drop into the sea. Getting a confirmation soon that the drogue parachutes are open and main parachutes are open. President Nixon is watching all this from a cabin called Flag Plot, which is used by admirals when they're on board. There are two admirals on board. The relay airplane has a spacecraft in sight. We haven't seen it yet. On your picture, you can see some of the hundreds of sailors who are on the flight deck looking up. And to the left and behind the carrier seems to be where people think it's going to come down. I don't know exactly why. That's where the fireball was seen. President Nixon's cabin for this is nothing. Somebody yells. Well, not seen yet. President Nixon's cabin is not fancy. It's a regular cabin from which the ship is directed, and reports are sent in when the admiral occupies it. It's navy gray with lots of pipes and wires running through it. They fixed it up a bit with a table and four chairs for breakfast, covered with white tablecloth and chair covers, and four big easy chairs. The crew says it is in good shape, and it's down to 3,500 feet. These scattered clouds are at 1,500 feet, so it may take some time for the crew here on the deck to see the spacecraft.
Ron, the drogues are out. Drogues deployed. Wharton, CIC.
The loudspeaker on the ship announced it's passing 3,000 feet. The astronauts.
The Hornet has reported the spacecraft right on target.
Just a few moments ago, the ship's navigators were taking a final celestial reading to get their fix and make any minor adjustments in their position to be right at the bottom.
Ron.
X-12-1 has contact 3150 holding. X-12-1 holding.
The Hornet is in voice contact with the crew, and we're monitoring.
Hornet, roger up. Hornet, roger, copy out.
That's Neil Armstrong giving the position reports.
Hornet, roger. Roger, this is Swim 1, Apollo 11.
I believe they are on the water. One of the helicopters reporting on the condition of the spacecraft.
Okay, Hornet, this is Airbus. I'm presently orbiting the scene at 1,000 feet. I am on the Commander.
Roger.
Stable 2 is upside down. If flotation bags will right the spacecraft.
Commander, is it Stable 2? The night watcher is deployed to something. The tubes appear to be detached, and downwind from the Grand Marshal. Roger.
It came in with the small end down. Opposite to what it should be, it will right itself. Which is those big balloons that you saw in some of the rehearsal film that are inflated. That's the purpose of those, is to make the spacecraft right itself under these conditions. Still upside down. And I'm told the landing was about 9 miles away from the carrier. And they're turning now.
It normally takes 8 to 10 minutes for the flotation bags to right the spacecraft.
And it's slowly getting a little lighter in the area.
Swim one is getting ready to deploy swimmers.
The swimmers from this helicopter will go down and attach a flotation collar to the craft. There's President Nixon watching. This is not the first time it's come in upside down. We had it on one of the previous flights. It's not a terribly pleasant sensation for the crew, but they're accustomed to it. They've practiced this too. Rather crowded quarters there.
It's the first time, Frank, in several days they have been able to tell which was up and which was down.
It may be rather pleasant to know that again for a change.
And now that they're back on Earth, it's down.
That is, it's upside down. It's floating. It's all right.
Nixon
seems quite animated, appears to be enjoying himself.
Commentary.